Now, you know what that sound is.
Yeah, it can only be one thing.
That's right. It's those Jiffy Packs that new CDs come mailed in. And here's something new from the works of Larry Hoffman.
Oh, I got that today, too.
Okay. It seems like we just keep opening these packages and opening them.
Well, there's that. And also, of course, all the downloads. It feels like I spend half of my day now downloading new albums.
Yeah, and the year is almost half gone. And, I think it's time now to take some stock of all these CDs we've been crackling open and listening to.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm Anastasia Tsoulikas.
I'm Tom Heisinger, and we host NPR's classical music blog called Deceptive Cadence.
And we've chosen some best of the year, at least so far, discs to spin today.
Yeah, and don't forget, we've got a complete list covering all the genres, almost all the genres, up on our music site, nprmusic.org. And so, Anastasia, I'll shove these CDs aside. Let's get right to it. So, what do you want to start us off with?
Well, it's an album of John Adams with the San Francisco Symphony and Michael Tilson Thomas doing Adams' Harmony Lyre and Short Ride in a Fast Machine. This was no discussion. This was, I think, one of the very top for both of us.
John Adams himself one time described this piece as a cranked-up, high-velocity orchestral juggernaut.
Yeah, it feels that way. You're sort of spinning and churning at a million miles an hour.
I know, and all fueled by that insistent pulse of this wood block percussion. So let's give it a shot. You know, they really blew the heck out of that.
Well, I mean, there's that amazing brass fanfare at the beginning, too. I have to say, that actual opening was my ringtone on my cell phone for quite a long time. It was the greatest. I really need to revive that in my life.
So that's Michael Tilson Thomas, San Francisco Symphony, on their own label, and two pieces by John Adams, Short Ride in a Fast Machine, and the Harmony Lyre. Next, another one that we both agreed on, kind of switching gears from John Adams to Johann Sebastian Bach, a semi-stage version of Bach's St. Matthew Passion with the Berlin Philharmonic, Simon Rattle conducting. It's a two-DVD set, and the treatment, so to speak, by Peter Sellers.
I love the way he stages this, because it's this beautifully intimate thing in which none of the singers, not the soloists, not the chorus, none of them have scores. They're all singing from memory, and they move around, and they have a few objects sort of as props, and it's this incredibly fresh thing, and yet it looks back to medieval passion plays.
That's totally right on. I mean, Sellers even said that the musicians aren't performing out, but they're performing in, like, to each other. And he said what you're getting is watching a community kind of work through these things, and in this case, the story of the passion.
Yeah, and even the Berlin Philharmonic, which we think of as this huge, incredible machine of, like, oversized proportions and oversized ability, they're in a very stripped down setting here.
So let's hear one of the most intimate parts of the Passion. I mean, it's a long work, obviously. If you don't know it, it stretches over about 2.5 hours or so. At this point, we come to an aria called Erbarme Dich, or Have Mercy, and it features mezzo-soprano, in this case it's Magdalena Kozina, and a violin part, and it's just this heart-wrenching duet. Some of the aria Erbarme Dich from Bach's St. Matthew Passion with mezzo-soprano Magdalena Kozina there. And it's coming from a two-DVD set of what Peter Sellers calls his ritualized version of the Bach's St. Matthew Passion with the Berlin Philharmonic and Simon Rattle conducting. And boy, it's just terrific.
And it's amazing. And I feel like we would be incredibly remiss in not mentioning at least some of the singers.
Yes, I know who you're going to name.
Oh my God.
It's Mark Padmore.
Mark Padmore.
And if you don't know The Passion that well, Mark Padmore, the tenor, English tenor, plays the part of the evangelist who, in the Peter Sellers version, of course, he does a lot of the narration, as Bach stipulated, but in this kind of semi-stage version, Padmore also kind of plays different roles, especially acting out different sections of Jesus' life through the music, and he is so keyed into the word painting. It's just amazing, really, maybe a career high for him, don't you think?
Oh, I honestly, every time he releases something, I'm like, oh, how can he top this?
Another career high.
Exactly. And I interviewed him once a couple of years ago, and I just felt like this slobbering fangirl, which is kind of embarrassing.
It's an amazing DVD set, and we should say that it's not available at your local Amazon store. I think it's only available through the Berlin Philharmonic store, is that right?
Yeah, that's my understanding, too.
Yeah. I guess we can't rave anymore about that, can we?
I think we've done quite enough.
Someone else we seem to keep raving about, too, is Jeremy Denk, who has a new record out. With an interesting matchup of Beethoven and Ligeti.
This is one of my favorite releases of the year, not just because it's amazing musicianship and amazing performances, but it's just, Jeremy's so smart. He's so smart as a performer and sort of as an all-around thinker. It feels like every time I open up Facebook, I see him posting that he's just written for The New Yorker and Newsweek and all these places. And obviously, he is a force to be reckoned with intellectually, not just musicianly, if that's a word. He's been doing this crazy program the last couple of years in live concerts of matching up various Ligeti piano etudes, which are among the most technically and emotionally demanding and mentally taxing works imaginable, and just happening to pair them up with the complete Bach Goldberg variations. It's like, when I wrote about it for our first listen series, I said it was a little bit like running a marathon, breaking a world record, and then doing that night after night after night with hundreds of people watching you at every step. And this program is no less than that. And instead of Bach here, it's Beethoven. And I think it's just an inspired pairing.
I do too. Let's listen to one of these short piano etudes from Book 2. This one is called En Suspens. And Jeremy, of course, wrote the liner notes to it too. And he talks about this etude in terms of separations between like dueling and different visions of time. And especially in this particular one, he mentions how Ligeti has the two hands in two different rhythms and two different dynamic levels. So the right hand, you'll hear kind of this waltz, and then the left hand, 1.5 times slower and quieter. Jeremy Denk playing Ligeti. Thank you. That's an etude from Book 2 from Ligeti. That one's called Un Suspens, and Jeremy Dink is the pianist.
And I think it's so interesting, Tom, that you chose Un Suspens because it's this floating thing. And you know, when we think of these Ligeti etudes, we think of these crazily knotted, dense mini-universes. And this one sort of is much more expansive
right.
and outward-focusing.
I kind of wanted to ease the audience into that a little bit.
Yeah. Good marketing.
Yeah, the very first one that Dink plays on this record is just total chaos. It's amazing. We're spinning a few of our favorites so far this year, since the year is just about half over. And we keep coming back to Brooklyn Rider because they just seem to keep doing everything just about right and fresh and different.
Again, and this is, I feel like this is the theme of this whole conversation. They're so smart about what they do and why they do it. This album was called Seven Steps, and the centerpiece of it is Beethoven's String Quartet, Opus 131, which is this massive, mysterious,
right.
deep seven-movement thing. And they find such meaning in it. You know, there's this amazing first movement that's a fugue. And instead of just going from one note to the next, we hear all these portamenti, these slides.
Right,
slide
right.
between notes. And for me, it's very moving.
The difference that you're going to hear, if you know this quartet, you're going to hear it at the very second note, because it's a big portamento, a big slide. And I was just dumbstruck. And then I kept listening. And there are other very tastefully used slides. And I just dashed off a quick note to the guys in the band, and Nick Cords wrote back, and he said that the question of these slides was a part of the larger collective of what they thought that the music meant to them, and they felt like the music was incredibly vocal.
Mm.
And they said that the portamenti are a way of transforming, the quartet into a voice, and a way of exploring that space between those notes and expanding the singing legato line of the music.
That's so interesting. And the result is just so beautiful.
What are we going to listen to? The opening movement?
Yeah, sure thing.
Okay.
Thank you. the first movement of Beethoven's String Quartet, Opus 131. And it's Brooklyn Rider playing, and I really think those portamentos are just otherworldly and just beautiful. And I should say that this isn't the only piece on the recording. They framed it around an improvisation that the four guys in Brooklyn Rider wrote together. And then a really interesting work to round it out called Together Into This Unknowable Night by Christopher Tigner that incorporates AM radio and percussion and sampling and then an acoustic string quartet and all of those external voices, all this external activity, so this fluttering murmur of activity and then this incredible glow of string quartets cutting through. And it's just a marvelous, marvelous effect, and it's a piece that I've returned to quite a few times too.
So let's go on to some vocal music. I was particularly happy to see that Decca was issuing a 14 CD set of the recordings of Kathleen Ferrier. It was the 100th anniversary of her birth just a couple of weeks ago. And so here we have 14 CDs of one truly amazing singer.
CDs, yes, but I wish we had more, and I certainly wish her life had been longer, because she was an artist of immense talent and immense depth.
Yeah, and she died of breast cancer, and she was just 41 years old. That was back in 1953. She has a real unique sound. I mean, she's a true contralto, so she sings, often in kind of a manly lower register. And on this box set, there's everything from the complete recording that she made, one of about three of Gluck's Orfeo e Euridice. There are these wonderful live broadcasts of songs by Schubert and Schumann from the 1945 Edinburgh Festival, and some British folk songs that she really, really liked. And I should mention, too, that the box set comes with an hour-long documentary. Made just a few years back in 2003, and there's an interview with Janet Baker, the great English mezzo-soprano, and she says of this song that we're going to hear now, Blow the Wind Southerly, she said, to me it encapsulates her entirety. You're getting the glory of this human sound, her genius with the words and the way that she makes them. Kathleen Ferrier.
My lover to me. They told me last night there were ships in the offing, and I hurried down to the deep rolling sea. But my eye could not see it, wherever might be it, the bark that is bearing my lover to me. Blow the wind southerly, southerly, southerly. Blow, bonny breeze, o'er the bonny blue sea. Blow the wind southerly, southerly, southerly. Blow, bonny breeze, and bring him to me. Is it not sweet to hear the breeze singing, as lightly it comes o'er the deep rolling sea? But sweeter and dearer by far 'tis when bringing the bark of
Blow the Wind Southerly. That's Kathleen Ferrier, the contralto there, from a reissue of 14 CDs worth of her recordings up until just a year before she died. I think the last recordings come from 1952, and included on the set is the really harrowing Mahler recording with Bruno Walter conducting of Das Lied von der Erde.
There's such warmth and such humanity in that voice. It's just something so special.
Yes, a big loss, Kathleen Ferrier, but of course not forgotten, especially when you've got 14 CDs worth of fabulous singing to listen to. So we're spinning some of our favorites so far. The year's half over, and Tom Heisinger here with Anastasia Tsilkas. And what do you have for us next?
So I have this great recording from Bang on a Can, which amazingly enough is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Who would have thought that the wild youth of the avant-garde would be celebrating a 25th anniversary as an organization, but here we are. And there's this great two CD set called Big Beautiful Dark and Scary, and there's lots of different music on there from the three founders, Julia Wolf and David Lang and Michael Gordon. And one of the recordings on here that I like the very most is this amazing and beautiful and harrowing tribute that Michael Gordon wrote for his mother, Madeline, who died in 2009. And the piece is entitled For Madeline. And we hear the wonderful Evan Zipporin playing various clarinets here. And it's music that is not chintzy and it's not sentimental, but it does evoke some very, very specific sonic images, so to speak. Michael Gordon says that in the year after his mother died, he spent quite a bit of time following Jewish ritual and saying Kaddish for her, which is the Jewish ritual prayer of mourning. And so you hear these amazing horns in here that sound a little bit like shofar, which is the ram's horn used at High Holy Days. It's this beautiful reimagining of some very traditional Jewish sounds. The Bang on Can All-Stars playing Michael Gordon's For Madeline with Evan Zipporin playing clarinet. And I think another artist who's was new to me in 2012 for sure, and I think made a very big impression on you too, Tom, was a pianist by the name of Behzad Abdurrahimov.
Right. We actually almost had a little arm wrestling match about who got to write about this guy first, because
it's true.
We were both listening to the CD at the same time and thinking, holy cow, this guy is something else. Just a 21-year-old pianist from Tashkent, and he's got a new CD out on Decca, big label, with some Prokofiev and Franz Liszt, and it's... Well, he's another pianist with a lot of technique, but a young one who also seems to have some brains behind it.
It doesn't sound very complimentary.
Well,
he's technical. He's got chops and he has a brain. But I think you're right. I honestly think you're right. In a time, we live in a time that sort of values flash and dazzle over a lot of other attributes. And I think this guy brings quite a bit more to the table.
Right. So what are we going to play? Something flashy and dazzling.
Yeah, exactly. The best way of showing you that is a huge piano lollipop.
Yeah, and this particular lollipop is Danse Macabre, which you might know from Camille Saint-Saëns, but it's in its Liszt and then Horowitz transformation. And we can't play the whole thing, so we're going to pick it up kind of in the middle and show you some really amazing fireworks from this young man, 21 years old, from Tashkent.
So that was Behzad Abdurrahimov playing Saint-Saëns from his first disc just released on Decca.
A young pianist who's got a lot of technique, and we'll have to keep an ear on him for sure. Okay, now we have time for just one more. And so the question is, what if Wagner were reincarnated as a 1960s hipster Peruvian surf guitarist?
Haven't you always wanted to know the answer to that question?
Well, okay, so here's the answer, and we'll talk about it more after we hear it. Peter Gelb had Chicha Libre in the hall for his ring cycle. Wagner, as you've never heard it before, probably.
All the way from Brooklyn.
All the way from Brooklyn.
It would be very convenient for the Met.
All right, tell us about this band.
So this is Chicha Libre, which is, as you said, a Peruvian surf rock from the 1960s inspired band of today. It sounds very retro. It sounds like somebody went through an old crate and dug up this crazy psychedelic thing. But no. This is a band based in Brooklyn, and their home base is the Barbez Club, which is run by Olivia Cunha, who is actually also the mastermind behind Chicha Libre, and they are so much fun. And I don't care if you say, oh, I don't listen to Latin music regularly. They are amazing and great, and I think this, you know, this has sort of a kitsch thing going on, but...
It's Wagner with a lo-fi cumbia beat.
Exactly. What could be better than that?
Their new record is called Cannibalismo, and we're just gonna let this ride right on out. And don't forget, we have best of lists, more than just classical music, a lot of other genres too, on our website, nprmusic.org. And you can hear more complete versions of the tunes that we've just been spinning, some of our favorites, right here on this page. I'm Tom Heisinger.
And I'm Anastasia Tsilikas.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.